Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. And if you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss with us, we have an open line for you right now. That number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Welcome, everybody. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, we have this great resource that we want all of our listeners to have this month. It's called Presence, Rest for the Soul, Power for the Journey. And it's just a subject that absolutely fascinates me. And it's about the presence of God. We see the presence of God there in the Garden of Eden with man, with Adam and Eve. Sin kind of interrupted that. We see God telling Moses to build a tabernacle, and then his presence fills that tabernacle. And we see the same when Solomon built his temple, that God's glory filled that temple. And all of that is pointing forward to what was really going to happen, and the real temple that God had been preparing all along, and that was the hearts of you and me. Yeah. So on the day of Pentecost, when God sent the Spirit came to indwell us, and we became the temple of God, corporately as the body of Christ, and individually. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We see this, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in the Spirit. Now, that's just true. Yeah. We've been united with the Lord, and we are one with him in the Spirit. Now, he's talking about this in context of sexual immorality, and he's telling people to flee sexual immorality, but he's going back to this temple theme and the fact that God's presence is in us, his personal presence is in us, to make his argument. So he says, flee sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So what he's saying here is that God's presence in you is what distinguishes you from anybody else. You have God's presence, and God's presence is going to shape the way you think. It's going to shape the way you behave. It's just everything. And that's why God sent Jesus, to cleanse you, to make you holy, to forgive your sins, to make you righteous, to make you alive, so that he could come and live inside of you. And that's the good news of the gospel. And guys, in so many corners of Christianity, this truth is overlooked. Yeah. Or just not even taught at all. But I think it's really the key to successfully experiencing the abundant life in Christ, recognizing that you have his life living in you.
Yeah, you think about when you buy that new car, or perhaps it's a car that is new to you, and you take it home, and what do you want to do with that car? Well, the first day, the first week, maybe for some of us, the first month, we're real careful. We're making sure the kids don't mess it up. We make sure that nobody runs into it in a parking lot. We try to take extra care of it that first few weeks, because why? Well, it feels new to us. It's exciting to have something new and special, and we want to take care of it. And this is sort of the philosophy that the Apostle Paul is giving us in 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know? I mean, you've been bought with a price. You belong to God. You're amazingly special to him. You have intrinsic value inside. The core of your being is now filled with the Spirit of God himself. So what incredible value and worth we have. And you're right, Bob. It seems like the average teaching on sex and immorality and is basically turning this passage upside down and just saying, don't do it. You better not do it. Don't do it. Stop it. But there's no logic behind it. There's no inspiration or motivation behind it. So here we see Paul giving us God's divine inspiration, and it's the intrinsic value that we have as believers now that we're joined, literally joined to Jesus Christ forever.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and this is the kind of good news that you hear every day. Of course, the voice you heard just now was Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, and we're glad you're here. You know, this message of love, life, liberty, and grace comes forth in abundance every day here at Basic Gospel on the airwaves and online, and we need to ensure that this message has a secure place in the airwaves of your favorite Christian station. We're nearing the end of our fiscal year right now, and you can double the impact of your gift by donating to help us fill up this $35,000 matching gift offer. Every dollar that you give will be doubled up to that $70,000. So we ask you to help us move this message forward, because the New Covenant message you hear every day on Basic Gospel must go out to those who do not hear it on a regular basis. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, as Bob was saying, we're going to send you a copy of this new resource. It's called Presence, Rest for the Soul, Power for the Journey. So please make your gift today and click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had this call come in overnight.
Yes, hello, Richard, Bob, and Bob. My name is John. I had the privilege to speak with Richard several years ago. I'd attended two conferences back in the 90s, and I really appreciated Richard Piper, his comments, his outlook, his faith. He came to mean a lot to listen to what he had to say, and it meant something really special to my and my family's soul. It seems like every book in the Old Testament, it adds more and more and more to the responsibilities and the demands on man and his righteous outlooks towards God. If you could explain to me what all it was, I understand Christ died for sin, but is it more than just acts and actions of man, or is it just an outward or an inward attitude? I think it has a lot deeper meaning than what I'm getting to understand. Thank you ever so much. The Lord be with each and every one of you. Bye-bye.
Well, John, thanks for those kind words that you said about Richard.
Yes,
as
very much.
Our listeners know, and if you don't know, you're going to find out right now. Richard is retiring. Friday is his last day with us, and as I've said to him, as I've said to our team, and so many people, Richard has just been a godsend to this ministry. He has helped us in so many ways. But what I've appreciated most is his story and how God has really brought him out of the depths of legalism to enjoy the fullness of God's grace and the insights you've been able to share with so many people. And certainly John was one of those folks through the year. So, John, thank you for saying that. But, Richard, thank you just for coming to join us back in 2002 and for all the things that you've added to this ministry. We certainly appreciate that.
Indeed.
And appreciate you and Lois and your great family. And we know we're going to see you after you retire.
Mm-hmm.
If we have to come and drag you down here, which we will do. We will do that. But we certainly appreciate all that you've brought to the table.
Indeed,
well,
we do.
Yeah, thank you. This has been a joy. 17 years of more fun than is legal. Really, is there anything better than talking about Jesus?
No.
Your whole life. I mean, it's just,
no.
There's nothing that tops that.
Nothing at all. Well, John did have a question with his kind remarks for you, and it sounded like he was wanting to know more about the essence of sin. Is sin just those actions that we do, or is there something more to it? Which would mean more to this sacrifice of Jesus Christ, exactly what he accomplished for us. And I think this is a very important question,
yeah.
Because I think we do see just the surface of what sin is just based on our actions and never really see the heart of it, the underneath it. And I think that's what he's asking. So, guys, what's our answer to that?
Well, I'd start with what he said first about the Old Testament, how every book as you move along seems to be demanding more and more. Don't look at it as demanding more and more. It's revealing more and more of who God is and how far short we have fallen. It is the, over and over again, the quintessential definition of being lost, being dead spiritually, and needing that Messiah that was promised all through the Old Testament. When Jesus got here, he wasn't just dying for, you know, the occasional bad deed, the misstep. He was dying for the thing that separated us from the Father. And then he raised again, which is the key part, raised again to bring that life back to us. That's an unimaginable gift, an unimaginably powerful initiation that God did on our behalf. And I mean, what do you do other than say thank you and fall on your face?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you look at what sin is, and I think, you know, we're scratching the surface here because clearly it's a deeper thing. It's something related to unbelief in Jesus. It's something related to going independent, not trusting in Christ. And unbelievers, of course, they wake up every day and live that way, living apart from Christ in unbelief and in independence. Then we get saved. And after we're saved, as we just read in Corinthians, I mean, we're united with Christ, and yet our mind is being renewed, so we can still choose to believe things that aren't true. We can still have that lack of trust in a given moment. You know, Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's faith that pleases God, and then not having faith, that's what sin is. I mean, Romans 14 says anything that is not of faith is sin. So we're getting down to the core of it. It really is unbelief in Jesus, whether that's a lifelong rejection of Jesus in the unbeliever or whether it's in a moment where we go rogue or go independent, choosing an attitude that's not of the Spirit. Well, that's why Jesus died. I mean, he hung on a cross and took away our sins, making us forgiven. And speaking of getting to the heart of the matter, the second thing the cross does is our heart of stone is taken out. Our heart of unbelief is taken out, and we're given a new heart. So, you know that old saying, cross your heart and hope to die. Well, that's exactly what God did. He took our heart to the cross, and we died with Jesus, and that's how we get rescued from that unbelief and that sin. So the cross accomplished so much that we can celebrate.
Absolutely, and I love that word you use, rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the blood of Jesus did. It rescued us from the power of sin and death. And that was the release we needed so that we could be fully human. And
yeah.
We can only be fully human when God's presence is with us and in us. And that's the whole story. God forgave our sins. He made us holy. He made us righteous. He made us alive so that he could come and dwell inside of us. And when he dwells inside of us and his presence is with us, then we can flourish as human beings and be what he created us to be from the get-go. And we can actually reflect his life, his love, his grace, his mercy out there in the world. So, John, great question. Thank you so much for calling us. And again, thank you for those kind words regarding Richard. Let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to our friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hello. I had a question, but first of all, I want to say I think I've been listening to Basic Gospel about 6 years, and I just want to thank Richard for everything he sowed into Jeannie's and my life, our lives. And Richard says he's retiring, but I know he's going to be about the Father's business, and I know that he's still got a lot of works that were ordained for him before the beginning, you know. So, Richard, I want to thank you for it.
Well, thank you, man.
Bless you, brother. And one thing specifically Richard really helped me with is the fear of death and fear itself. He's got that about as smooth as anybody laid hold of that promise. And I was reading this last night in Hebrews 9:27, where it says it's appointed to man to die, but after that, or once, but die once, but then the judgment. I'll just say it the way I know it in my heart. You know, I think somewhere in the scripture there's a verse that says they were in bondage all the days of their life because of the fear of death. Well, you know, I don't fear death like I used to after, you know, I know now that I've done all the dying that I'm ever going to do when it was like Andrew just said, when I died in Christ, okay? And what jumped out at me last night, Jesus knew no sin. He was perfect and took our judgment and our sin upon him, and he died and was resurrected, okay? So with us, we have to die, okay? And then we receive his righteousness and then his life. It's just reverse order. And I've never really seen that before, but anyway, that's all I want to say. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Clay's been a friend a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to echo, guys, just to chime in here and take a minute to thank Richard for all that he's done in the ministry for so long. One of the things that means the most to me about him is his series on Revelation. You guys remember Revelation, It's No Mystery. Well, for a lot of people, it's a mystery. And what Richard does so well is really just cut things down to a simple, straightforward presentation of the book of Revelation and putting Jesus Christ front and center, which he always does in his counsel on the air, in his teaching. And I'm just grateful to know you, Richard, and to see your service in this ministry for so long. I want to thank you for how you've sown into my life and into the lives of so many people over these last two decades.
Oh, shucks, guys.
Stop it.
Well, we all feel the same way.
We can't stop it. I mean, we just, it's just thinking about you and the fact that God sent you our way, it's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you can't help but say, Lord, thank you for Richard Pfeiffer.
Yeah. I could never have imagined this. Not the thank yous, but the chance to do the things I've gotten to do here. No, if you asked me when I was 30, what will you be doing when you're 66? This wouldn't have been on the list. But here we are. God is great.
Yeah. And Basic Gospel and our listeners have been blessed by Richard being here. Well, 844-322-2742. We have open lines right now and some time on the clock. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Guys, I know you get as weary talking about money needs as I do, but it's a fact of life. The ministry needs financial support to operate, to pay the stations for the airtime and the other expenses that have to be met. Now, we are about 2.5 weeks until the end of our fiscal year. And at last report, I had heard that we need about $200,000 to finish the year. Now, our $35,000 matching gift offer, if matched, will go a long way. But then it's going to leave a pretty big nut to crack before the end of the year. So, friends, you know all the reasons that it's vital for Basic Gospel to be on the air every day. So please, step up and help us reach that near indeed. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do, when you make your gift this month, we're going to send you this brand new resource that Bob talked about at the beginning of the program. It's called Presence, Rest for the Soul, Power for the Journey. Again, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We had this question from one of our YouTube viewers. Said it's hard to grasp the reality that God's Spirit lives in us. I don't know how to truly experience it. And I think that's a good question and a legitimate question. If God's presence is in us, how do we experience that? Are we looking for a feeling? We want to feel his presence? Or is there some other way to truly experience the presence of God in our lives?
Well, I think it's really dangerous to set up a feeling as an expectation. Let's say that at the outset, and I don't think we can emphasize that strongly enough, guys, because too many people have built theologies around an emotion. Come down the aisle, come forward, get a second blessing, get a second portion, we'll knock you over, somebody will catch you, and you're going to feel something amazing and get up from that and just have more power for living. And so people hear that sort of thing and they expect an emotion. Well, the presence of God within us is not a feeling, not an emotion. Jesus said that we would worship him in spirit and in truth. And so that means that whether feelings come or go, we can have a knowing. We can have a knowing of the truth. So somebody says, okay, well, what is that experience? Well, I would argue that as we're walking by faith and knowing our new identity in Christ, we're just going to wake up and feel like we're being ourselves. I mean, God is not asking us to have a put on. He's not asking us to wear a mask. He's not asking us to be someone that we're not. The reason that he's made us a new creation and the reason that he's joined us to Jesus, uniting us with the Lord, is so that we could be right and we could be a good fit for God, being his children. And then we get to live from the heart and give from the heart and be ourselves. So just do away with that expectation of an emotion and walk by faith in the truth, the simple truth of your union with Jesus Christ. And man, it's going to feel like you being you, trust in the Lord and you being yourself.
Yeah, and with that you being you and trusting the Lord, you're going to see his presence manifested through you in love and joy and peace and patience. When you don't expect those things. And that's just the power of his presence in you. That's the fruit of his life. And those aren't feelings. Those are just realities. And it goes against the grain of this world. It goes against the currents of worldly thinking. But that's just the reality of Christ in you. So I think when you look at those fruit of the Spirit and start to trust, you begin to see those and you go, thank you, Jesus, that you're alive, living in me. Well, let's go to our friend Brad, who wants to say some things to Richard as well. Hey, Brad.
Well, starting off, I'm listening to four of the most wonderful men I've ever been introduced to in my entire life.
Thank you.
And one of them is Richard. And I'll just tell y'all, years ago, I got a 3D brick through my TV from Metro Fellowship, and it came from Richard Piper. So I'm marked forever in my forehead because of that 3D brick hitting me square in the head. But I love you guys. I love Richard. I've already told him his office is booby-trapped, and he's going to be chained to his chair, and he won't be able to leave. So. I've gotten his bank account information. I've gotten his cell phone. I've gotten his address. So he's mine. But I tell you what, one thing that Andrew just said is everyone that I'm listening to today is in my heart. And I've learned to listen from my heart. I've learned to know God. And that is really the secret to experiencing God himself, is to grow in grace and to know him. And I love you, Richard. I'm going to miss you terribly.
Well, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Going to miss all of you.
Yes, yes, we are. And again, for our listeners who may just be tuning in and you've heard Richard Piper's voice for all of these years, Friday is his last day with us officially. Of course, after his retirement, he'll come back and join us occasionally when that opportunity presents itself. But we just want to take this week, these last few days, and just to say to the Lord, thank you for sending Richard our way. Thank you for just his life. Thank you for his story. And, you know, last month we recorded his story. It's available if anybody would like to hear how God freed him from just one of the most legalistic lives you'll ever hear about. You will be blessed, and you'll see what some of the high costs of legalism really is, and just the power of grace to set a person free to enjoy the fullness of God's life, the fullness of God's love. That is Richard's story, and we're just so grateful that we've had a part of that, and thank you for being a part of our lives for all of these many, many years.
And I think the truth of this is that had Richard not gone through what he did early in his Christian life, he would not have been able to bring to the table what he brought to Basic Gospel. So I think that,
yes,
that needs
indeed.
To be said. So thank you, Richard, from me as well. Well, we're out of time, friends. Remember that $35,000 matching gift offer. Every dollar you give this month will be doubled toward the end of our fiscal year. So go to basicgospel.net. Click that prominent donate link right on the homepage. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.